News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Terminally ill New Yorkers could have the legal ability to end their own lives with pharmaceutical drugs under a bill passed Monday in the state legislature. It would allow a person with an incurable illness to be prescribed life-ending drugs and with approval from two physicians. A spokesperson for New York Governor Kathy Hochul said she would review the legislation. In Harvey Weinstein's New York retrial, the judge received a letter from the jury foreperson today that said, quote, "I need to talk to you about a situation that isn't very good." Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to all charges.
After sending that note to the judge, he brought in the foreperson who told the judge that jurors were attacking one another and bringing up Harvey Weinstein's past. The judge brought all the jurors together, said they needed to be cordial and only discuss the evidence. They'll be back for a fourth day of deliberations in Harvey Weinstein's sex crimes retrial.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky. This is ABC News. Warner Brothers Discovery will split off its streaming and cable offerings and become two companies by next year.
Just 3 years ago in 2022, Warner Media and Discovery Communications merged, and now the two companies are unmerging. Going forward, one company, which will be called Global Networks, will focus on cable offerings, CNN, TNT, TBS, and multiple Warner cable companies. The other company, referred to as Streaming and Studios, will include HBO and HBO Max, as well as Warner Brothers TV and Movie Studios and DC Studios. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
More than 12,000 Harvard University graduates have signed a legal message of support for the school as the Trump administration threatens to freeze more than $2 billion in federal funding and revoke visas for international students. Signatures range from the class of 1950 to the just graduated class of 2025, including Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on WRCE is brought to you by Walsh's Ace Hardware, Richland Electric, Meister Log and Lumber Company, The Shoebox, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Jones Chevrolet, Pratt Funeral Service, Pappas' Trading Post, Clary Memorial Funeral and Cremation Service, Community First Bank, A&W Restaurant, Benson Insurance, Schmidt Woodland Hills, Bailey Paint, Julie Karen State Farm, Meyer Oil and LP, Sunshine and Giggles, and Cardinal CG.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The PAC says goodbye to Jair. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. ESPN, the first to report, the Packers deciding to part ways with the 28-year-old defensive back Jair Alexander. Packers president Mark Murphy confirming the story to WBAY-TV Green Bay.
Well, first of all, he's been a great player for us. Obviously, elite talent and, unfortunately, just injured a lot.
Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Braves tonight in Milwaukee. The Crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddy Peralta allowed just one hit through six innings and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but it was good enough just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddy first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then a clearing sky tonight, and a low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, hazy sunshine from a little smoke, warmer, highs into the low 80s. Chances for showers and thunderstorms return Wednesday into Thursday. Right now it's 58.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins me to talk new movies. Then producer, director, editor, and Wisconsinology founder Frank Anderson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin, it is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on after 11 o'clock. In the Tom Hartman Show, you want to be listening for the keyword that you want to text in. We are in the midst of our statewide Sconny Summer Text to Win contest every day through this week. Mm-hmm. In the 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours, you will have a keyword you want to text in using the Civic Media app, and you're in the running either for $100 in cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club tickets. And then the grand prize is a Wisconsin summer vacation in either Door County or Baraboo with money to get you there.
Nice.
Four daily chances to enter now through this Friday. So again, be listening after 11 o'clock in the Tom Hartman Show for your keyword for our Sconny Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. Going to start off just briefly with this because there was a lot of news that happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And this happened on Friday, which I think kind of got buried by everything happening in Los Angeles and Donald Trump calling in the National Guard and all of those things. But the headline from the Wisconsin Examiner says, wrongly deported Maryland man Abrego Garcia returned to the U.S. You may recall many Trump administration officials mm-hmm. saying out loud, he's not coming back. There's no way to bring him back.
Nope.
El Salvador is a sovereign country. We have nothing to do with it. He is in their custody. That's it. He's there.
The president said, I have no power to bring him back.
Yeah, that was not true. He's back.
Yep.
Abrego Garcia landed in the U.S. on Friday. Now they are accusing him of being a human smuggler. Originally, he was an MS-13 gang member.
Yes.
Right?
Correct. Yep. That they had a court said absolutely without equivocation that he had no proof that he was part of a gang. So it was just pushing a narrative over. And we heard people say he's in a gang, but there's no proof that he was in a gang.
Yeah, it's that whole proof thing. But again, a Maryland Democrat, Chris Van Hollen, says, as I have repeatedly said, this is not about the man. It's about his constitutional rights and the rights
yes.
of all.
Yes.
So again, if he is found guilty of these things, then deport him. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is with our government snatching people off the streets and deporting them without putting them through due process to which they are entitled, citizen or not.
Correct. Yep. We spoke at great length with Jim Santel, with Judge Paul Michel about this. The Constitution does not, one, the Constitution does not just cover, well, if it says all, it means anyone. Also, there's no such thing as habeas corpus for some. It's for all or
it's
none.
It's for all or
and
none.
And it either is in effect or is not effect. It can't just be like, well, Jane, we like you, so you get some habeas corpus, but Calvin, you don't get any habeas corpus because we don't like your glasses. So that's not how it works.
No, that is not how it works.
No.
So at least, again, Kilmar Abrego Garcia is back in the United States. He returned on Friday. Contrary to all the things that the Trump administration told us, no, there's nothing we can do. He's there. He's never coming back. Oh, now he's back.
Well, now he's back, and now he's more dangerous than ever. And
right.
We should have just wrote a list of other suspected crimes of Kilmar Abrego Garcia. That was because before it was MS-13. That was just it, even though there was no proof, and the court said that. And he was a protected person in this country.
And from Maryland. Yep.
But now he's come back and he is just, I mean, he's back in America and he's done all these things. And it's just, okay, you're just going to pile on all these claims, not charges, not
proof,
not convictions, but just, you know, as you said, Jane, bring him back. Let him face
the let him go through due process, his due process, and then take it from there.
Yeah.
But I did see another, and just briefly because we're going to move on, but I did see another article this morning that said 25% so far of the people that ICE have taken into custody have no criminal records.
And they know that, too. Like, this is willy-nilly. Pulling people up at graduation ceremonies, at hospitals, and in courtrooms. And this is not the way to do things.
I thought the whole goal was to get rid of dangerous felons
or just people
dangerous criminals
or people who are here illegally or didn't go through the process. I also understand that motive as well. But yeah, the criminals were the number one problem. They were
got to get the criminals off the street.
If we don't get the criminals off the street, then the streets aren't safe, Jane. And what are we going to do? But no, it just seems willy-nilly.
Pretty
at this
much.
Point.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, we're going to move on to things a little bit more local and talk about the Wisconsin state budget.
Oh, great.
Robin Voss, Speaker of the Assembly, on Upfront on Channel 12 yesterday, speaking to Matt Smith. Robin Voss says it's a lie that the Republicans refuse to invest in education and child care as the budget talks break down. Robin Voss telling WISN's Upfront, we're willing to do it, just not as much as Governor Evers wanted. That's the difference. He makes it sound like we were at zero. We were not at zero on any of these topics. We tried to find a way to invest in childcare that actually went to the parents and to make sure that we weren't just having to go to a business. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But what the Republicans suggested that we talked about last week was giving a tax incentive to businesses to open childcare centers.
Correct. And
did I imagine that?
No, we talked about there was an article. I know I posted that article in the show notes. But like there are a bunch of components to this matter. And we've had Corrine Hendrickson on many times. She's been on many shows here on the Civic Media Network. And it's about incentivizing the businesses that run the daycare centers themselves. One of their big things is giving some money to release, so they don't have to keep raising their prices.
Right.
To pay their people a little bit more. Not millions of dollars a year, but I think they said their target was to get them at $13, which is quite reasonable in my opinion. And for the work they do, still underpaid. But also, yeah, like there's the parents, there are the businesses, and I mean, I don't actually have a problem with them incentivizing companies to open up their own daycare centers, but that shouldn't be the only thing they're doing.
Right.
Which seems like the only thing they're doing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any other things suggested from the Republicans, and I would love to see more businesses step up to this, but the fact that we're not seeing that makes you wonder if this is a good enough incentive.
I think it's a misdirected incentive. It comes back to the age old thing of like they just want to help businesses. They think businesses can do it right. But what's weird is that, I don't know, Corrine Hendrickson and all of her colleagues, they're business owners.
They are business owners.
They employ people. They're job creators. They contribute to the economy. And if you give them the ability to run their business well, and you know, I don't think any of them are looking for handouts that will allow them to become billionaires.
No.
But you allow them to have a partnership with a state that runs a solid business, then it's going to be a net gain for the parents, a net gain for the child, a net gain for those businesses. Because I bet you a lot of those businesses who are not in childcare, like, I don't want to open a daycare. Do you know what will happen if I do that? Or what I have to do in order to get that to happen.
So, yeah.
It's Robin Voss. Robin Voss always says no, even when he says he's saying yes. So I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Well, and the other thing that kind of jumped out at me during this conversation, again, Robin Voss and Upfront on WISN yesterday talking to Matt Smith, who does a great job. But Robin Voss never once talked specifics.
No.
He never talked actual numbers. No. So it's just the governor asked for too much. We didn't give him what he wanted. So the governor walked away. Well, we'd like a little more specifics about what you offered him in these deals.
Yeah, well, one of the things they said, you know, in the education portion of the conversation with regard to the UW system, he said that they want to require professors to work 12 hours to show they're working at least 12 credits.
One of the things we wanted was a guarantee you'd have every professor teaching at least 12 credits. So 12 hours in the classroom for a full-time job. And they just couldn't get there. Robin, maybe let's not talk about full-time jobs.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, also, do you know what it takes to be a professor at a college level? It's like, you're usually, if I'm not mistaken, because I have friends who've taught in college, you can be an associate professor, you can be a teacher, you're teaching classes, but some of these professors are there because they were brought by the university to do research.
And write papers,
be published, and raise the profile of those universities. So, yeah, they'll teach, but they're not going to teach all the classes. That's why you have TAs and assistants, and that's why, like, the system's in place to do it. I mean, my parents didn't want me to go to college and say, like, but you better make sure that you're being taught by teachers. That's not how this works. And so his concern all of a sudden for the way the UW system is, it just seems – but then again, this is the same guy who said – we gave more money to the public school system than anyone else in a generation. Yeah, because they were getting nothing before.
For a decade.
Yeah, if you're giving them $5, that's more.
Yeah. Robin Voss also said that we want tax relief for the middle class, and we believe that it should be something focused on retirees, keeping more people in Wisconsin by having a lower tax burden and hopefully not having people move to a warmer climate for 6 months a year.
Yeah, that also doesn't make sense to me. And if there's anybody who's listening who
snowbird
who lives in Florida or Arizona for anywhere 3 to 6 months a year to get away from the winter, I get it. My mom's slowly going that way, too. But as far as I know, my mom, in her retirement, she's not a citizen of Arizona. She's a citizen of Wisconsin. So any taxes that are incurred on her behalf that she has to pay,
she pays in Wisconsin.
So I don't know what this means. Either it is, once again, a nice Robin Voss workaround where he's just saying a bunch of words that sounds smart, or he is truly ignorant to how people pay taxes.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we came on the air, too. And again, so for 6 months, they're not going to pay sales taxes here.
Correct, yeah.
But is it... If you are a snowbird, I'm curious to know, would you not go to Florida for 6 months if your taxes were lower?
Yeah. Well, they want to, like, do a thing of, like, it's no tax on $75,000 a year, like your first $75,000 a year, which at the end of the day, for me personally, it's Robin Voss. So it's always when they say tax cuts for the middle class, it's really not. It's tax cuts for their buddies, for their donors, for themselves.
Pretty much.
I have yet to see a real plan from the Republicans that gives a solid tax cut, not just for retirees. No offense, retirees. I want you to get your money, get your bag, kids. But also tax cuts for, you know, like for me and my wife, we don't have children, so we miss out on a child tax credit.
Yep.
Just a basic middle class tax cut that benefits us all. Show me the work. Show me the money. Show me how you're going to get it done. Don't just go on TV and talk about how Tony Evers can't be worked with.
Robin also says he's not overly concerned with the massive tax and spending plan moving through Congress, despite projections it will affect Medicaid and food share. Robin Voss says, I'm not all that worried. It's an exaggeration for my friends on the left. There are not cuts in Medicaid. When they tell you there are cuts, it's untrue. Okay. We're going to return after the break and talk about someone who worked for DOGE and the vast waste, fraud, and abuse he found. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
News from the center, WRCE. Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're all...
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, oil and gas industry expert, will be joining us as he does every quarter now. So stick around for Matt Randolph coming up after the 9:30 news. Right now, though, we were talking about Robin Voss appearing on Upfront on WISN over the weekend and talking about all the waste and fraud and abuse in the federal government. And I just wanted to do this quickly before we get to some really important things in the budget.
Yes.
A former employee of DOGE said he found federal waste, fraud and abuse were relatively non-existent.
What?
Sahil Lavinga told NPR, "I personally was pretty surprised, actually, at how efficient the government is." Lavinga is a software developer. He joined DOGE in March. He told NPR he just really wanted to make government websites easier. That's why they brought him in. I thought, cool. This is cool.
Yeah.
But he says, in working there, I did not find the federal government to be rife with waste, fraud, and abuse. I was expecting some more easy wins. I was hoping for an opportunity to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. I do believe there's a lot of waste. There are minimal amounts of fraud and abuse. To me, feels relatively non-existent. We talked about this before. Again, it's easy to say we keep finding waste, fraud, and abuse. Fraud is a crime.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then I would like to see these cases move forward in the courts from all these people who are committing fraud mm-hmm. and getting benefits they're not supposed to.
It just seems like all the wasteful spending they did seem to find either was being done, quote unquote, done by departments that had who Elon Musk had a vested interest in staying away from, or social programs that just seem to help the people.
Yeah.
And for minimal money in terms of government spending, when you're talking about like millions,
even $5 million is nothing.
Seven digit to even low eight digit yeah. numbers. That's nothing in government spending. And to attack those programs, and they're usually social programs,
yes,
helping the, wait for it, the poor, it just seems more targeted and, I don't know, just mean. I know that sounds very childlike, but it's doing it because those individuals have no power. They don't have the ear of a senator or a congressman.
Well, and who's going to fight for them?
Exactly.
Who's going to fight for them?
You can't, nobody, because they fired everyone who could fight for them.
Well, thankfully,
yeah,
there is someone out there to fight for the tanning bed people.
Who?
The tanning bed people.
Are they a huge lobby?
Came up over the weekend. They slipped, you know, a couple of things in that big budget bill. We did mention them last week.
Yeah.
But, Kelvin, I believe we have a clip from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson talking about tanning beds mm-hmm. and this break we're going to give tanning bed owners. Let's take a listen.
Right to.
What about tanning beds? It eliminates a 10% tax on tanning beds. I mean, how did that become a priority for
Well, you? I think that was an unfair thing that the Biden administration put on industry because they decided.
It was actually, it goes back to 2010.
Yeah.
It's been around for 15
long
years.
Time.
But the Biden administration enhanced it. And there'll be modifications probably to that in the final package as well. But we'll see how it comes out.
What?
I love that. Biden did this. Well, Obama actually implemented it, and it was for health reasons too. Wasn't
yes.
just because they hated.
And there were lots
beds.
Of health groups that signed on yeah. to this.
But Biden enhanced it. How? Biden? Oh my gosh! Like it must be great to be Barack Obama, because before it was all him. Thanks, Obama. Obama did this. It's Obama.
Now it's all Biden's fault.
Oh my gosh, I stubbed my toe. Well, because of Biden's policies,
right.
I stubbed my toe on my bed because my bed is too small. You know. Listening to him, and honestly, he's in similar jobs. When I listen to him or Robin Voss try to weasel their way out of policies, they're just, let's face it, this one's ridiculous. This is ridiculous to just be like, well, it's Biden. This is because of
Biden. That's their go-to.
Yeah.
That's the go-to excuse for everything. Also slipped in this bill is a little thing about gun silencers, which I know Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee heard all about when mm-hmm. they went around traveling around Wisconsin and all the people who came forward pro-gun silencer. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
One, there's a provision that eliminates a tax on gun silencers. Now, this is a tax that has been on the books for about 100 years.
Long time.
Why are you suddenly cutting a tax on silencers?
Well, there's a lot of thought and deliberation that went into that as well. The Second Amendment is a critical freedom in the Constitution, and there's no real rationale for adding taxes on these pieces of equipment. And we had the votes to do it. I think it was a long time overdue. I think we have to protect the fundamental freedoms of the American people, and there's no rationale. The government should not be making money on something that you have a fundamental inalienable right to.
Hold on 1 second here. I'm just going to look up. I just want the Second Amendment. I just want to read this.
Yeah,
for you,
yeah, yeah. Bring up the
sure,
Second Amendment.
Unless they've amended the amendment, the Second Amendment of the Constitution mm-hmm. protects the the text says a well-regulated militia being necessary to secure the free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Nothing in here about silencers.
That's because they didn't exist when
there's no silencers. That would have been really. I mean, it was hard to load a gun back in those days. Could you imagine attaching a silencer to a musket?
Yeah.
I don't really see this as a free and fundamental thing.
Well,
it's just
taxes. I believe that this legislation was authored by a Republican in the House who owns a gun shop.
That's right. He does. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just one of those little things they slipped in there. So, Wisconsinites, Let's call our Republican representatives who all voted for this measure and just ask them about the tanning bed thing and the gun silencer thing. If you're not sure how to contact them, go to myvote.wy.gov. Myvote.wy.gov. Let's call Robin Voss. Well, not Robin Voss. Call Scott Fitzgerald and Brian Stile and all our other Republicans. Call Glenn Grothman and ask him. He's using tanning beds, isn't he? That's who this is for. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Terminally ill New Yorkers could have the legal ability to end their own lives with pharmaceutical drugs under a bill passed Monday in the state legislature. It would allow a person with an incurable illness to be prescribed life-ending drugs and with approval from two physicians. A spokesperson for New York Governor Kathy Hochul said she would review the legislation. In Harvey Weinstein's New York retrial, the judge received a letter from the jury foreperson today that said, quote, "I need to talk to you about a situation that isn't very good." Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to all charges.
After sending that note to the judge, he brought in the foreperson who told the judge that jurors were attacking one another and bringing up Harvey Weinstein's past. The judge brought all the jurors together, said they needed to be cordial and only discuss the evidence. They'll be back for a fourth day of deliberations in Harvey Weinstein's sex crimes retrial.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky. This is ABC News.
The PAC says goodbye to Jair. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. ESPN, the first to report, the Packers deciding to part ways with the 28-year-old defensive back Jair Alexander. Packers president Mark Murphy confirming the story to WBAY-TV Green Bay.
Well, first of all, he's been a great player for us. Obviously, elite talent and, unfortunately just injured a lot.
Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Braves tonight in Milwaukee. The Crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddie Peralta allowed just one hit through six innings and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but it was good enough just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Lilo and Stitch is still the box office champ. The biggest hit of the summer so far pulled in $32 million last weekend and is now pushing $800 million globally at the box office. The film is showing some great gams with only a 50% drop despite being in its third week of release. The number two spot goes to From the World of John Wick, Ballerino, which brought in a less than expected $26 million in its opening weekend and $51 million globally. The eighth installment of Mission Impossible saw only a 45% drop in its third week of release. Final Reckoning is currently at $450 million globally. Karate Kid Legends brought in $8.5 million to come in fourth place, and gruesome horror film Final Destination Bloodlines continues to show incredible staying power by coming in fifth place and pulling in $6.5 million in its fourth week. The film has now pulled in $250 million worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then a clearing sky tonight, and a low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, hazy sunshine from a little smoke, warmer, highs into the low 80s. Chances for showers and thunderstorms return Wednesday into Thursday. It's 55 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we take a look at the fast-paced headlines across the nation and state. And a lighter note, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to have him back Mondays with Mr. Global. Matt Randolph is here, oil and gas industry expert. Good morning, Matt. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We are good. Thank you. Good to see you again. Lots of things going on. Just a couple. We wanted to start. I know. I thought we would start, Matt, with the Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, visited Alaska. And I've seen some things, some chatter about the Trans-Alaska LNG pipeline. So that's why Doug Burgum was there, talking about how great this is, and it's all about making America energy dependent, and we're going to drill, drill, drill. And so what do you know about this Trans-Alaska pipeline?
Well, you know, first of all, the administration keeps pushing these projects that could have easily been done any time in the last 50 years if they were actually economically viable. Like, they just keep, you know, this thing in Alaska with the LNG, wanting to double oil production, build another pipeline. There's been no real restrictions there that would have ever stopped anyone from doing that if they thought it was the best place to invest their money. So I just want to say that right off the bat.
Sure. But,
the vast majority of, you know, this project would all just be gas that would be exported out of the country. It wouldn't help, you know, as far as energy goes, it wouldn't help the United States at all. It would make corporations a few billion dollars, I'm sure. But this is all for export, like everything else we do now is to export.
I think that's really important that folks understand that, because, again, If you don't dig too deeply into some of this stuff, it sounds pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, let's get another pipeline, and this is going to help America become energy independent, and gas prices will come down and all of that stuff. But when you dig a little deeper into it, as you said, this is just a transportation portal for fuel to leave the United States. But first it gets to cross the United States, right?
Yeah, and you know, I don't know the economics of it, but I have serious doubts about whether this is even economically feasible. You're talking about basically one company would be producing natural gas and having to build one singular 700-mile pipeline across the state of Alaska to get this gas to an LNG terminal just to send. You know, we've built LNG terminals all across the Gulf Coast, and that's because there's just tons of existing infrastructure there to support that. There's tons of pipelines already there, you know, from offshore and the Northeast Corridor. Everything anyone would need to do that is already there. They're going to have to build this from scratch. And I just don't see how it's economically feasible. But you did say one thing. I don't know if you heard my new catchphrase. It makes sense if you don't think about it, right? You kind of touched on that a second ago. I started saying that the other day and it took off. So I
like it. That works. It makes a whole lot of sense. Just don't think about it too hard.
Yes. But no, you're right.
Yeah. I think the big problem though is, like, you know, when you don't think about it and all, and as Jane said, when you just say we're going to drill and we're going to do this, and then when you try to offer just even a small bit of advice or a small bit of information on this, it then becomes, well, you're wrong. You're just fake. Why don't you want us to have energy independence? Well, I mean, I'm not saying we don't take in oil exports from other countries, but we are rather, we have a lot of oil that we can drill, that we've been drilling for ourselves. Am I wrong?
No, that is exactly right.
Yeah. So this narrative of, like, energy independence, it sounds really good and it sounds great if you love America, and I love America, but it also just is a false narrative. And going to, like, mentioning the prices too, is like one of the things that Donald Trump said he was going to do. I don't think he said it on day one, but he did say he was going to do this, was cut energy prices in half. I just need to know, because you're an expert, has that happened?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Well, and let's go, because we talked about this with you before. And again, for people who are not familiar with you, Matt Randolph is an oil and gas industry expert. This is something that you have to earn. Mm-hmm. It's not like you get to be self-title yourself this thing. You actually have to earn it. And he's got 30 years experience in the oil and gas industry, so he knows of what he speaks. But again, a lot of those things just sound good. When he first talked about cutting oil and energy by 50%, you essentially said, well, then we're going to stop producing natural gas. We're going to stop doing all these things, because if energy producers don't make any money, what is their incentive to do these things?
Yeah. And, you know, we've done the math on this. You know, oil would have to be below $20 a barrel to cut the price of gasoline in half. And I was interviewed by a gentleman named S.V. Date with the Huffington Post, and did an article that was back before the election. And when I told him this, it just blew his mind. And I'm like, there's no cutting gas prices in half. That's just not a thing. Like, it's 2025 and inflation is a thing that exists, right? Mm-hmm. And you're wanting prices to go back to, like, what they were 60 years ago. Nothing costs what it did 60 years ago when adjusted for inflation, right?
Right.
it's just, and you have to think in terms of how an oil company thinks. You know, we go back to this LNG thing and all this oil in Alaska. If you was to ask anybody, you know, what's an oil and gas disaster, you know, the Exxon Valdez would be one they would bring up, right?
Sure.
And when was that? 1980, I think, was 45 years ago or so. I could be off a little bit on that. But the fact of the matter is that disaster was minuscule compared to Deepwater Horizon. But people will still think of Valdez first, mm-hmm, because it's in Alaska. It's in a place that people view as beautiful in nature. This is another reason companies don't want to expand their businesses up there, because in their mind, hey, if we have a disaster along the Gulf of Mexico, people will talk about it for 6 months. But if we have a disaster in Alaska, people are going to talk about it for 50 years. They literally think about this stuff, wow, right? And that's why we're...
Whoops.
He got so...
Somebody yanked Mr. Global off our live stream.
Oh, my God, Jane. They were all right.
He was here, and now he's gone. We will try to reconnect with Mr. Global on the live stream and get him back on the air. We've never had this problem with Mr. Global before.
But that was just mid-sentence, too. Like, usually they have the decency to freeze up first so we have an idea.
No,
but
he was
just
gone.
Like magic. But that kind of blows my mind that Alaska, and I looked it up, and it happened in 1989, the Exxon Valdez spill. And it's almost like, and I will confirm with him once he returns, it's almost like a marketing thing, too, is like Alaska is dangerous to drill in, because if they're... Oh, he's back. There he is.
There we go.
Welcome back, Mr. Global.
Yes. lucky.
So you were saying before the internet had its way, that they take into mind about doing work in Alaska because of the history there with Exxon Valdez, and that it almost seems, and forgive me if I don't want to sound insulting to them or anybody, but it's almost like a marketing thing too. It's like the marketing of Alaska for oil is hard because everyone immediately goes to that.
Yes.
Well, and
it's the same reason. It's the same reason they can't get any traction in Anwar, right? It's if Anwar was in West Texas, everybody would want a piece of it because it's West Texas.
Explain what Anwar is for folks who don't know.
The Alaska National Wildlife Refuge that Donald Trump keeps trying to open up for oil and gas drilling, and nobody will buy any leases. You know, we've done this three times now, had lease sales up there. They think there's a lot of oil there. It's completely unproven. It's north and west or north and east of Prudhoe Bay. It's an untouched area of Alaska where Trump is convinced we need to drill. I don't know why Trump thinks he knows anything about where we need to drill, but nobody wants to go there. It is a hot button issue. It's a topic. It would create, you know, believe it or not, as bad as a reputation as big oil companies have, they do care about their image and their brand, and they're not going. That's the last thing they need is to look even worse.
So what you're saying that is that these leases are available to drill in these areas, but oil and gas companies are like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Let somebody else stick their neck out. Again, on the off chance that something goes wrong, and that's going to stay in the public's memory for a really long time. By the way, it's really interesting to me, and I know that you're right about the Exxon Valdez staying in folks' memories more than the Deepwater Horizon rupture, but I remember watching the film of that thing just gushing oil for days, and it was horrific.
Yeah.
But you're right, it was under the surface, and we didn't necessarily see the poor seabirds covered in oil, so it didn't have the same impact.
Call it vanity, call it whatever, but if something terrible happens out in the desert of Texas, people don't care as much as if it happens in the forest in Alaska. You know what I mean? That's just human nature. There's nothing wrong with it. That's just how it is.
And now it's a monetized business. It's called optics. Called optics. And yeah, I can't believe I'm about to say this. That actually makes me feel something of love for these oil companies to say, you know what? We don't need to go to Anwar to do this. We don't need to risk this for, as you said, unproven oil amounts that could also affect that part of the world and the animals that live in it.
Well, and as you said too, Matt, drilling is really expensive, and exploration in and of itself is very, very expensive.
Yeah, and no place more expensive than where Donald Trump wants them to do it. And we're laying down rigs in places where it's fairly cheap to drill. We're certainly not going to be doing any drilling in the most expensive places in the world to drill. Like, it's just...
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
Yeah. And one of the things I think, I can't speak for Jane or Kelvin here, one of the things I've learned is that, you know, and it sounds crazy, but like, you know, these oil companies just, they don't want to drill oil. They want to make money, and making money comes from drilling oil, and they're going to drill oil when they can find, and they do the research. I mean, how long of research do they do on a piece of property before they even put a bit of equipment down to find out this is how much we can get, this is how much we can net, and we're going to make a profit? If not, we're going to move on to another part of the country or the world.
Yeah, and with today's technology, it's very fast. Data mining systems built with AI. It used to be years, now it's days. So
we're going to continue our conversation with Matt Randolph. He is Mr. Global Oil and Gas Industry Expert. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Wild, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for Lung Cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Are you ready? Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Monday. We're joined by Matt Randolph, Mr. Global Oil and Gas Industry Expert, and we were talking about the pipeline in Alaska that the Trump administration is all touting now, and we wanted to talk a little bit about gas prices, too.
Yeah, in the previous section, Matt, we were talking about the notion of basically cutting the prices of energy in half, and one of the things that people always talk about, and it's a real thing, it's gas prices, and we've talked extensively about gas prices here, but and you discussed the point of when prices of oil are low, that's when gas prices can go down, but that also means that the oil companies aren't making a profit. And I want to harken back to 2020, where some of us were paying 89, 99 cents a gallon for gas because the demand was so low, the price of oil was so far down. What damage did that do to oil companies as far as like their bottom line? I mean, like I'm asking the question basically, like, this is why we won't see gas prices lower that low, because they can't afford to do that, period.
You must be muted, Matt.
technology.
Got me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, first time in history, oil prices went negative.
Wow.
And then when they stopped being negative, they were still like, you know, $10, $15, $20 a barrel. We had the largest oversupply of oil and gas we've ever had in history. And they couldn't hardly give the stuff away, right? But they were losing their shirts.
Now we lost you again.
Matt, you're muted again.
There we go.
There we go.
Now we got
rid
you.
Of the mic.
There we go.
Yeah. But yeah, we, you know, oil went negative and then it was really low and companies were losing their shirt. And if you're paying 99 cents for a gallon of gas, you're pretty much just paying the taxes on it. Like nobody's making any money. But just in my, I live in one of the cheapest states in the country for gas. And if I was paying 99 cents, it's everyone in the supply chain is losing money except for the tax collectors. There's no profit anywhere. And, but the world would have to completely stop for us to get back to those prices again. There's no possibility of that happening with people still driving and business going on, you know, on a normal function every day. That's just, it's not a thing that can happen.
I guess my point, and that's the point I like to make to people, is like there's no incentive for oil companies
to cut their own profits, yeah,
to create a world in which we pay far less and they somehow make money. If that's, yeah, as you said, as we said, it's not a thing. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, we're already laying down rigs like crazy. I think we're up to about 40 rigs we've lost since Trump took office. And, you know, that's with oil between $60 and $65, because inflation exists with companies too, right? $65 today doesn't, you know, how far does it get you, right? Not very far. That's so essentially where oil prices are today are below $40, where if you looked back 5, 6, 7 years ago, we're having the same effect as sub $40 oil. So we're going to lose more rigs. We're going to lose oil production. And, you know, gas prices will probably continue to fall, but it's not going to be a great thing.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join the conversation. Jack from Merrimack. Jack, we got about 2 minutes left. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Well, I had a couple of things, but let's just look at this. Can Matt explain what the depletion allowance is and how it works, please?
Did you hear that, Matt?
Yes. So the depletion allowance is one of the tax deductions that oil companies are allowed to take. So let's say you have, we'll just try to keep it simple. Let's say you have, you know, 10 acres of mineral rights, and there's a specific amount of oil and gas that is expected to be in that 10 acres, and you own that oil and gas, right? As it depletes, the value of that asset is dropping, and you get to take a tax deduction on the loss of the value of that asset. Does that make sense?
Does that explain it would be, for you, Jack?
It would.
That explains what it is, but why is it? Because you're producing, you're getting profits from that oil that's been pumped out of there.
Exactly. I didn't say it was fair or correct. I just said this is what it is.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's just like the intangible drilling cost deduction. You know, you're getting all of this value, but you're getting to write off 100% of that as well. So yeah, I understand.
We had another question on the live stream, Matt, and I don't know how much time we're going to have to get into this. We only got about a minute left. RFK1 says, what would happen if oil and gas became a public utility nonprofit? What would the price be then? Maybe we should mull on this and we can bring you back and kick it around next time. Because, again, we only have about a minute left unless you want to try and touch this real quickly.
That's about an hour conversation. There you
go. Go to his YouTube channel. Go find Mr. Global on YouTube. There's tons and tons of fantastic videos there.
I would suggest also watching his story, Mr. Global's story. That's a great half an hour video of his origin story.
Absolutely. Matt Randolph is Mr. Global. Thank you so very much, Matt. Hopefully we'll get you back on in a couple. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky tells ABC News the U.S. has diverted 20,000 anti-drone missiles to the Middle East. This as Ukraine endures the largest attacks from Russia since Moscow launched its invasion. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
Russia launching nearly 500 drones and missiles, the largest number of weapons fired during the entire three-year war, sending residents into bomb shelters. Video circulating online showing a Russian cruise missile streaking over western Ukraine. At least a dozen people injured in these attacks, one killed.
27 states and the District of Columbia have filed a lawsuit in bankruptcy court seeking to block 23andMe from selling personal genetic data without customer consent. The lawsuit comes as a biotech company seeks the court's approval to buy the struggling firm. 23andMe customers use a saliva-based DNA testing kit to learn about their ancestry. This is ABC News.